Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That was average.
How are you?
What was that crackle sound?
You know what? It's a good RCA cord. I think it's something in the channel. It's just...
Is our mic going out?
No, I don't think so.
Like Trump's?
Well, did you watch the debate?
No, I couldn't do it.
You didn't even watch any of it?
No.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it either.
I watched some of the reaction stuff, but I can't watch it.
It just makes me angry. I've been hearing about it, and...
It's all just...
You know what? It sucks because I don't care about either of them that much. I'm voting for Hillary more than, you know, just because... More against Trump than for Hillary, because Hillary's a little shady too. But, yeah, our guest is... She's nodding in disagreement, but we can have that conversation later. How was your week?
It's all right. Didn't do anything.
I went to my 20th year high school reunion.
Oh, you had that?
I mean, my 10th year high school reunion. I did. Dude, have you been?
Yeah, I've been to mine.
What was it like going to high school with Ben Franklin?
He's a nice guy.
I'm just kidding.
You're not that younger than me.
I know. But and you know what? The fact that I am a little bit, I can throw in those old guy jokes. You know what I mean? No, it was a little crazy. We did it at the Santa Anita racetrack. And there were a lot of people that I did not
Where'd you
remember.
Go to high school?
I went to Arcadia High School near Pasadena.
Okay.
So,
was it a daytime event?
It was a daytime event, 2 to 7. And then...
Did you play?
I did. They asked me to play. I was like, I don't know if I want to play. I didn't play any of my own stuff. They asked me to put together some music, so...
Like covers of the songs you went to school with?
Covers, no songs that we went to school with.
Acoustic or the whole band?
It was just acoustic. They asked my band to come. I'm like, listen, it's my 20th year reunion, and I don't want to play the whole time. That would suck. That would just be not cool for me. So then they said, well, would you be willing to just play? And I said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to use whatever budget you have to get a 90s band, and they're going to supply all the gear, and if you want us, give us an hour, and I'll put together an hour worth of music. So I got together with maybe four people that went to school and sang, and that I sang with, and I got them all on stage. We did Stone Temple Pilots' Plush.
Mm-hmm.
We did Lenny Kravitz' Can't Get You Off My Mind.
Mm-hmm.
We did Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
From high school?
Because there was a 90s band. So they were like, don't do all 90s stuff. So we're like, okay, we won't.
Oh, and then you taking their songs?
Yeah, we did like some 90s and then some not so 90s.
That's a lot of songs in the 90s.
Well, we did like a half and half. Kind of like half and half.
A limited 90s catalog?
Well, we learned a bunch of songs, but we didn't do all of them. We did Tom Petty. Mary Jane's Last Dance. We did some good. It was fun. But the really funny thing was there were so many people I did not remember from high school. They were like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, are you new to school or what?
Were you popular in high school, or did you have your own clique?
I was popular, Eddie. I was a badass motherfucker.
Were you? You were. That means you weren't.
No, I was. I really was. I promise. But I went to school with a huge class. I had 900 people in my class.
I had about 800.
Well, that's not 900.
I had 800 or 900. Actually, 400, it's all the same.
You know what? Actually, that's one of the biggest classes that I've ever heard anybody else graduate with.
I had a huge class.
I thought, did you think that everybody went to high school like that? Because I did. I was like, oh, everybody must go to high school.
Yeah, I grew up in a very populated part of Virginia where like all the high schools were huge.
And you know what? The 90% of the people that grew up in the U.S. did not go to high schools like that.
Yeah, most people didn't. My dad's graduating class had 12 people in it.
That is crazy.
That's the smallest class I've ever heard. He had 12 people.
12 people? How do you date?
And he just had his 50th high school reunion, and I think there was like 8 people.
Well, that's good.
Left.
That's good.
They all made the trek.
There are 4 that didn't make it.
Yeah, there's 4 that haven't.
That's pretty awesome. 50-year.
12 people. That's crazy.
It was fun. I mean, honestly, like, I was kind of dreading it, for one, because Sean wasn't there, and for two, because I was just kind of like, oh, I don't want to play at this thing, and I want to just kind of hang out. And it was awesome. It ended up being super awesome. Great party. You know, we're looking at this, like, beautiful, you know, background just with the racetrack and the mm-hmm. mountains and everything, and kind of made me realize how great it was to grow up in that area. And I saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in so long and laughed a lot. I mean, just we did so much stupid shit in high school.
Yeah, you're high schoolers. That's what you do.
But, you know, I would go back. I would go back in a second. I had so much fun in high school. I ditched a lot of class, just partied like crazy. I mean, I just really had a blast. So it's kind of funny to see all the people that I did all that mischief with. And then to see all the people that were in class, you know, just like having fun.
Any real
with
success
us.
Stories in your class?
Any real success stories? Nothing crazy.
I mean, besides you.
I mean, no, nothing crazy. Nothing like, no, nobody's a millionaire. But a lot of people, the sad thing was a lot of people were divorced. I was kind of bummed to see that. A lot of people had kids. A lot of people were in good jobs. Mm-hmm. A lot of people also didn't
show up.
Anybody
married together from your class?
Like, oh, yeah.
A lot of people went to school together, got married?
Yep, a lot of people. And that was surprising to see that, you know what I mean? Just because you knew it just because of Facebook, but it's kind of cool and kind of weird and awesome at the same time. Mm. You and Tracy were one of those.
We didn't date, though, in high school, so.
But you went to the same high school.
We went to the same high school,
Did you graduate in the same class?
Yeah.
So people were like, oh, so you waited.
No, everybody was shocked. No one saw it coming.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because we were just friends. Like, we didn't, like, we wasn't.
Did you always have your eye on her?
No, not at all.
Kind of creepy?
No.
Like,
oh, not Tracy. Like you. I wouldn't do that. No, I wasn't. No, not at all.
Not even a little bit?
Mm-mm.
You didn't have a crush on her or nothing?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Does Tracy know this?
Yeah.
So you just like, what's up, Tracy? And then when you were in college, you're like, what's up?
No, not even in college.
Then what happened? Tell me the story.
Well, I moved out here, then she moved out here, and then we started dating.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you dated because you both knew each other from back home?
Kind of.
Did you know you both were moving out here?
Yeah. Oh, I was already out here, and then she moved out here.
Huh.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Interesting for everyone listening. Probably not.
No, no. You know what? No. This is how you find the love of your life.
No.
So beautiful.
No. Ah!
See? The audience loves it. They love a good love story. So what was like your big... What did you say? Tracy, let's go get some lunch.
Yeah, that's what I did.
No, what did you say? Tell me.
I don't know. I don't know.
What was your first date? You don't remember your first date? Bullshit. You don't remember your first date. I will call Tracy right now and ask her.
Call her.
Call her.
I'm not calling her on the...
Why not? Do it.
She's probably putting the
kid
down.
Come on, for real. You don't know your first date?
No.
You don't remember your first date?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm.
How do you not know your first date?
When you've known someone for so long... I've known her for 30 years. So it's just like memories are just... like everything's just blurred. There's no specifics.
That is a beautiful love story.
That's true love, man. That's true comfort.
That's true love of dementia.
That's true love.
Does she remember your first date?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
You don't remember any, like, significant details of your first year of dating?
No.
When did you, like, okay, let me ask you this.
I don't want to talk
no,
about
no, no,
this.
No, 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 no. This is good radio. This is good radio.
No, it's not. This is the opposite of good radio.
What did you say, Tracy?
This is boring.
I want to be serious with you. When did you say that?
I never said that.
You never?
Is that what you said to girls? I want to be serious with you.
I want to be serious.
Oh, my God. You were not popular.
I was.
No,
I was,
you weren't.
I
not with those lines.
I was. Not with those lines. You know, I was a party animal.
Why so serious?
I really was. I partied a lot. It's kind of funny, like, now that I'm sober, but I partied so much in high school and college. It was like, oh, my God. And now it's like
did you have a problem? Were you an alcoholic?
I wasn't a problem. I didn't have a
problem. Well, you said you're sober, but you don't say that unless you had a problem
prior.
Well,
you know what? I didn't have a problem, but I was like, ooh, if I keep this up, I'm not going to end up too well. It was kind of like a check. I got to check. I got to check yourself moment. I had a check yourself moment.
Mm.
And then I just stopped. You never drank in high school, ever.
Mm-mm.
Have you ever had a beer?
I had one beer.
You've had one beer in your entire life?
Mm-hmm.
Wine?
No.
Huh. Really?
This is boring. Let's bring our guest.
I actually think
the doorbell.
Anyways, our wonderful guest is here, Miss Veronica Grosses.
Hi, boys.
Hello.
How are you?
Getting over flu, but otherwise perfect.
You don't sound sick.
Yeah, you look awesome, and you don't sound sick.
Not at all.
Excellent.
Veronica Grosses, basically helped me to graduate from
college. How do you pronounce the name? Krausus?
Krausus.
Krausus.
Krausus with an S at the end.
Veronica Krausus. Krausus with an S at the end.
That's good.
Half an S.
You're not allowed to swear, just so you know.
Oh, I'm not allowed to swear.
I just kidding.
Yeah. You can say whatever you want. There's no rules here.
This is her second time and she forgot. You forgot?
No.
You know, I moved some guests around for you.
I know.
That's how much you mean to me. I was like shuffling. I was like, I got to get her on.
Yay.
But seriously, she helped me graduate. You've heard this story before, Eddie, but I'm going to tell you
again. I haven't heard this story before.
She was my ear training teacher. My music theory teacher had it out for me.
So
oh, man,
nice
he
ears.
Had it out for me. He had it out for me bad. He's no longer on the planet, but...
Did you have anything to do with that?
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this, he was a really talented guy, but... He had it out for me. I mean, you know, Veronica knows he had it out for me. In fact, I never told her, I never bitched once about him to her, but he would bitch to Veronica and say, this kid, he comes so late to my class, he's half asleep.
Well, that, I can see where that would get on people's nerves.
Did he tell me that?
Oh, yeah, because Veronica came up to me, and she's like, this is what she said to me. And I was doing super well in Veronica's class. She came up to me, she's like, you got to get your shit together in Dr. Naidu's class. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, he says you're
stop
like
showing up late.
Yeah, it was so bad.
Like an a-hole.
So you know what? She tutored me. And you know what? She
set
helped
your alarm
me.
Clock.
She helped me still go in late because she knew that wasn't going to change. But when I went in late, he'd ask me a question to groom me, and I'd be like, Italian six chord. Take that!
Augmented six chord.
And she's such a talented composer.
Great. Let's talk about music.
That's what I was just about to say. I was segueing right to it.
We have mind meld.
That's right. See?
Mm-hmm.
She's a badass.
Badass.
She's a badass composer. Let me tell you this. How cool is this? And this is why I switched so many guests around. Not only because I love her dearly. She's got a piece being premiered at Walt Disney Concert Hall.
That's impressive.
First of all, that is one of the coolest things any of our guests has done. Seriously. Well, tell us about that story. That must have been amazing.
The first thing is it's a big festival that LA Phil is doing that's called Noon to Midnight. It's a Saturday, October 1st, and it goes from noon, 12 noon, to midnight.
So it's not just a clever name?
No, it's not just a clever name. They're kind of smart there that way. And it's sort of the brainchild of the composer in residence, John Adams, who's celebrating his 70th birthday. So he decided that he wanted to do an event that celebrates all of the amazing musicians and composers and groups in LA. So you get there at noon and you go to different spots in the hall, or there's there's an installation going up the escalator that's got clouds. It's called Nimbus. It's by Yuval Sharon, the director from the industry, who's doing a 3-year residency at the LA Phil. And the composer's the marvelous Rand Steiger. So you've got music that's live and electroacoustic going on with this installation. And then there are food trucks. And there's beer, if you like beer.
No.
No, I don't
Eddie
like beer.
Eddie doesn't.
No. But I like food trucks.
Food trucks are good.
Food trucks are good.
Food is always a good thing. And the food trucks are smorgasbord. Which is a great name. I can't quite say it. L.A.
You Canadians.
They're going to have... I know. Wait, you Canadians yourself.
Where in Canada are you from?
Sort of all over. Calgary, Toronto, Montreal.
Oh, okay.
She's from all of Canada.
Yes. Mm.
I'm just from Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
I'm a Newfie. But she's from all of Canada.
I'm from about.
About Canada.
But anyway, it's this really great... festival, and the tickets are only $15, and so...
That's awesome.
I know.
Why didn't they do $12? That would have been cool.
12, yeah.
12 free. Noon. Should have been midnight. Free. You just come for...
No. But like, they had a theme. 12 noon to 12 midnight. $12 tickets would have been super...
17? 17 is a prime number.
Well, that has nothing to do with 12. 12 to 12 is what...
Oh, I get it.
See?
I get it. Oh,
cheapers.
You're way smarter
Look
than
at
I
this.
Am.
I'm ahead of my time.
You know how much money you would lose over all the tickets sold just because you wanted to be clever with your ticket name?
Well, you do 12 to 120 tickets. How about that? Now I just made more.
120 tickets?
Yeah.
Money.
$12 to 120. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're like, this kid is smart. $12 to 120, depending on where you're sitting.
Where would the...
Some of it you sit and some of it you don't. So my piece, you're not sitting, actually.
Oh, you're standing.
Well, yeah, because it's in the side hall and...
That's cool.
The musicians are in a tent.
How many people?
Five bass players.
Five bass players? Oh, my God. You told me this.
In a tent.
I have so many jokes. Wait.
I
know. Is it upright, electric? Like, how does it work?
They're upright. Upright, regular, you know, classical bass players. They're all the badass LA Phil
boys. That's awesome.
And they're in a tent that's designed by Anna Privatsky, who's an artist, and you see the movement of their bodies and their bows and their elbows. So you don't actually
You don't see them.
Silhouettes?
Yeah, it's sort of...
That's awesome.
No, you don't even see the silhouettes. You just see the body movements poking through the tent. Because it's what's that called?
So it's like tight around them?
Sort of.
How are they not freaking out? Like, I would freak out.
I don't know, but the jokes have been a-flying, let me tell you.
I would imagine.
And let me ask you the first question.
Okay.
How did you arrange this so it didn't sound like a rehearsal room of bass players?
What?
Meaning you got five bass players playing.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much four more than you usually need.
No, but more bass players are always good.
I love bass.
They're kick-ass guys. And they're amazing musicians. And
are they all playing at the same time, like different parts? Are they all playing together?
Sometimes they play together, and sometimes they do different things, and sometimes they make different noises. And
that's awesome.
It's composed and orchestrated.
Are they all bowing, or are they all doing different things
at different times?
Mostly
they're doing bowing. The piece is actually called Porcupine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the idea that the bows are coming out like quills, so there's points where you have the porcupine melody. And one of the nicknames I gave it was View to a Quill.
Ha! You are good! You're good!
Nice.
Wait, that deserves one of these. Yeah! Okay.
Oh, you should see that. I don't know if I should be divulging this, but at one point the boys said, so-and-so said that he's not going to wear any clothes in the tent. And then apparently another guy said, well, then if he's not wearing clothes, I want my own tent. Anyway, and off it went from there. And I think they were trying to be a bit reserved around the artist. And
how long are they going to be in the tent?
About 10 to 12 minutes. Yeah, so it's not long. They're doing it two times. They're doing it once at noon at the beginning of the festival, and then they're doing it once at 5:15, so you can wander back.
I think you're all sweaty.
No, they don't have to wait in the tent the whole time.
Yeah, but just 10 minutes in that tent, you'll probably start sweating. Somebody farts, and it's just going to be terrible.
Well, I was thinking of, those car deodorizers that are in the shape of a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of, as a joke, putting that in there, so if they're listening now.
You might have to, a joke.
Yeah, you might have to do that as their saving grace.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not going to do it just in case that smells. But no, they're not smelly boys. They're it's noon. It's not going to be
boys are smelly.
Tell us about this piece. What was your process in composing it?
Well, Patrick Scott of Jacaranda Music, who is his group is also on the festival. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff. He introduced me to this artist, saying, "I think the two of you creatively would get along," and we did. And I happened to run into David Moore, who's one of the bass players at USC.
Even though we're 1-3. It's okay.
Yeah, what's 1-3?
We're 1-3 in football. It sucks.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been following football. Sorry.
You composers.
I know. But let me tell you about the symphony. No. Anyway, so I ran into him in the same place. I always run into him in the stairwell. And he said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I said, "Oh, I met this artist who does, puts musicians in tents." He goes, "That's cool." 2 weeks later, I get a call from their artistic department going, "Do you want to write a piece for five bass players in the tent?" And I'm like, "Sure.
Yeah.
I haven't done that before. It sounds like fun." And we just started talking about, size of the bass players, which was an issue because basses actually take up a lot more room than you think they would.
Wait, how big? Okay, let's give me an image. How big is the tent? Is it bigger than this room?
No, it's not.
It's smaller than this room?
Smaller than this room.
Is it like half the size of this room?
It's about three quarters the size of this room.
Damn, wow. That is
they like
a
each other.
Lot. That's not a lot of space.
No, it's not. But the thing, that's why the fabric is draped on their arms and their elbows and their bows, so you see them.
Things coming out.
Through. Yeah, so you see the movement. So it's a piece that's...
Eddie's so confused right now.
I know. It's really hard to imagine.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Now, when you say the tent's draped over them, I have so many questions because I'm just thinking about this setup. Is it just like a cloth that's just over them?
It's a very haute couture cloth.
Huh.
It's a shimmery, beautiful cloth that is stretchy. So when you go to Cirque du Soleil and you see the acrobats in that tissue or the fabric
mm-hmm.
that hangs
yeah.
and it's kind of stretchy?
Yeah.
That's what the fabric sort of looks like.
Oh, cool.
And it was specifically designed and sewn for us.
Eddie's got a bunch of pants like that.
Yeah, I do.
He does. You do, too. Look at the ones you're wearing right now. And they're pink.
Hey, be nice. No. I wore these just for you.
Yeah, no. And the basses are much higher than the bass players, so they actually are the support rods of the tent.
Eddie loved that. You cool. Set yourself up for that. You're grinning as you're saying.
I know, and these guys are so great because they have no fear and they're just willing to try anything. And I wrote a piece for them 2 years ago for four of them, and then they got a new bass player that they liked, so they invited him into the.
Like, we wanted five.
Five. So next time that's it'll crazy. Be six.
Yes.
And then it'll be seven.
And then eight. Bass players. Five golden rings. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so tell us the process. Like, how did you start? How did you start writing? Did you write one part all the way through, or did you just write everything together?
No. I just wrote it all together. I've been working with this writer, Andre Alexis, for about 30 years. Oh, my God, it sounds so old.
Wow, that's awesome.
Do you have a creaking noise there for
you
banks?
You know what? Just that.
That's a dog. That's not creaking bones.
It's only because I miss my dog. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so imagine creaking bones. But yeah, I've been working with him for a long time, and it seems that with most of my bass pieces, I have a collection of them. I've used his text to either title the piece or just inspire the piece. And so, of course, when this commission came up, I called him up. Andre, I need a poem. I need a poem for five bass players in a tent. And he said, I'm really busy right now. I'm writing my next novel, but there's a poem in the novel if you want it. And I thought,
You got to read it. Read it. I'm so excited.
I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll read the first part of it. But it's from he just won the Giller Prize in Canada last year for his book, 15 Dogs.
Wow. Yeah, see, I'm ahead of my time.
He's another kick-ass writer. Anyway, so here's the first part of it. None of the dead are lonely, or so the breeze would have it. Rather far the civilized wit than fortune's won without it. Hours from now, hours from you, my porcupine, though four of your quills pierced three of my vines.
Wow.
So I have no idea what it means, but I read the word porcupine and I thought, that's it. This piece is called Porcupine.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then I kept running into things that were porcupine-like or hedgehog-like.
Like?
For the next. Well, the day I finished my piece, I was in Italy at a residency and I went out for dinner and the restaurant in Tuscany on top of this little mountain, there were two buildings there, that one and some shed, their logo on their wine and their olive oil was a hedgehog. And I thought, this is a sign. It's a sign. Porcupine.
I totally believe in serendipity, synchronicity, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when you kind of put something, especially creative, out into the world, or when you're even like creating it in the process, those things are there for a reason.
Yeah.
They're there to inspire you, to show you that you're on the right path.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to compose the whole thing?
I spent the summer, so about 2.5 months.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And okay, so.
Oh, so the process.
Yeah.
So.
And wait, how many hours a day are you spending?
Well,
like, so people know.
I was there. I was in Europe. I was in France, New York, and then in Europe for 2.5 months, literally just writing. So I think I took about 2 days off, 2-3 days off, but otherwise I was just trying to write.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, at least you only have one clef.
No, I don't.
Really?
They go super high.
What?
They go really low. Yeah,
bass. See, Eddie didn't. Really you high. Didn't get that joke.
Nope. All I know.
There's treble clef, lip, bass clef,
clef palate.
Well.
Yeah. No, none of them have that. They've got.
That's all I know about clef.
Clef. Yeah.
Well, it's just like registers, basically.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't matter. It's they go high, they go low, they go.
They go high, they go low.
Gotcha.
So you wrote. Wait. So this must be strange for a bass player to read in treble clef.
No, they're LA Phil players.
They still read the bass line.
They read everything.
I don't know.
They can read everything.
Oh, really? Did you have them sight read it, or did they just know the music ahead of time? You don't know.
We had one rehearsal, and I'm not sure. So some of them, they were great. It was, you know, it was the first rehearsal. They went through it, and yeah.
I almost want to just come in and just say, "Hey guys, can you guys sight read this real quick in treble clef and see what happens?"
They can.
I'm sure they are. They're great musicians. I'm just kidding. I'm just giving them a hard time. All right, so you took 2.5 months to come up with this piece. How did you know you were done?
I don't know. Next question.
What do you mean you don't know? You were like, there it is.
Finished. I mean, if I had had another 6 months to write it, I probably wouldn't have been done. But I was, they have to.
You're never done. You're just always working on it.
It's like a month and a half away. They need to play it, or a month. So, boom, it goes in.
Did you change anything when you saw like a rehearsal? You're like,
I think one of the harmonics was too low, so we made it go higher. And then I had an E sharp in there, which I thought, what the...
Beep. Who so was this?
It was a note error. But no, I, you know, and they worked with me and we fixed things. And no, I haven't changed anything yet.
That's awesome.
But maybe I will.
What was the biggest obstacle in writing it? Finishing it? Yeah, exactly. That's one.
Yeah, it was just tough because it completely evolved differently than I thought it would.
Tell us about it.
It turns out to be much more melodic. And
that's awesome.
So there are porcupine melodies in it?
Like a porcupine walking or running?
No, it's just these sort of lugubrious melodies that I tend to write with, you know, quills coming off. So you get these sounds that are like quills and the scale.
That's awesome.
Starts small and then it goes bigger. And I don't know. We'll see.
Can you compose a theme song for Eddie when he walks?
I can.
That would be nice.
That would be sweet.
That would help me get along.
Do you want it in 4/4, something rhythmic, regular, or do you need something a little
He's
more...
He's a comedian.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Just, well, we can talk about it after.
Just surprise me.
Question.
Surprise me.
So, which performance are you going to be at? Are you going
to
be at both of them?
I am going to go to both.
Well, you don't want to like see something else on.
Oh, I'm going to, but my piece is, you know, 10, 12 minutes and it's.
Yeah, why would she stick around for?
I know, it was just a question.
20 minutes of the day. You should just hang out and watch all that work.
It's like you know, I would think, okay, well, the first one went well, the second one will go well too, but you got to show up.
Oh no, I'm going to.
You got to show up.
You want to be there. For
you want the praise. You want the high fives.
No, there's you know, all the musicians there are so amazing that it's really inspiring to be able to write for them and have them do your music. And
it's the best when you write for great players.
Yeah. I mean,
there's something magnificent
about
that.
And I've been really blessed, especially with bass players. I don't know, I've got about, I don't know, 6 bass pieces that I've written for such great musicians. And it's a little bit, you know, I'm kind of nervous.
Didn't you write a piece last time for, like, tubas?
No, I had one tuba.
You had one tuba
and one bass. Tuba. That's right. It was a tuba and a bass.
See, I remember these things.
See, you remember those
details.
Things. Okay,
details.
Okay, 7 pieces for bass.
You know what's cool about your, like, work? The last time you did it, you did an opera that took place in limousines, correct?
Yeah, it was Hopscotch.
Hopscotch. Mm-hmm. And they went all around town, all over L.A., and you went through the stories, and everybody went through stories in different order.
Exactly.
And you composed something for bass and tuba.
Right, that was in a...
And now you're doing something in Disney Hall with tents and a visual and an artist making the scene. I mean, it's crazy.
It's
awesome.
It's really exciting. You know, you get these challenges, and I think I've been trying to write pieces that are just music, and somehow that never happens. You know, someone will come and, oh, look, here's a tent, or, oh, here's a video, or here's a choreographer. And it, so
You're
I've
like
stopped,
a prop musician.
Yeah, exactly. So nice. I've stopped fighting it, and it's...
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
You're the Carrot Top of music.
I am?
Well, it's a... comedian. Right. Never mind.
He has red hair.
Yes. Yes.
You are right on the money. That carrot top is not fooling anybody.
Oh, man. So it's kind of fun. And I think adding the visual, it doesn't detract from the music at all because the music can stand on its own. But I think in a lot of cases, having an additional layer when music is challenging for people who possibly aren't accustomed to consuming contemporary music, it helps them get past that barrier where they can start approaching it.
You mean you're saying because it's like atonal? And
yeah, it's atonal, or it could be, you know, something that they're not used to listening, or maybe it's all about the harmonies versus melodies. And, you know, it's been proven people can listen to melodies much easier than recognize different harmonies.
Right.
Or something that's timbral or textural is a different thing. And one of the things often with new music, people go, oh, that just reminds me, it's like that soundtrack I heard. And they don't realize that contemporary composers don't want to be compared with soundtracks.
Right, you're like, no.
You know, yeah, and which is not to say that soundtracks are bad, but they're composed for a different purpose. And they're amazing film composers who do just the most dope stuff with the visuals that they've got. But often that music on its own without the visual would need to be manipulated a bit to be able to stand on its own as concert music, let's say.
Are you into the Kronos Quartet?
I know them, yeah. They're great. They've
because
I've
seen a couple of your performances, and I always hear a lot of that kind of textural writing. It's so unique. I love it. So cool.
I saw them when I was a student, you know, last century.
I don't think I've ever told you that.
No.
Never told you that.
Wow, I take that as a compliment.
And Eddie, atonal is basically like... How would you say it's like the opposite of melodic?
No, it's very melodic. It's the opposite of Happy Birthday.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either. Don't you have any sound effects?
That's about right.
Think of a horror movie and, you know.
There we go. That's atonal.
Can you stop it?
Is it possible to stop it? I wanted you to feel the atonalness of it.
The atonality.
I
mean, all new music is an atonal. There's stuff that isn't. And, you know, I had a little a geek fan moment, I have to tell you.
Please.
So one of my favorite composers is Arvo Pärt, and I've never met him. And I do these pre-concert lectures at Disney Hall, and I've never had a chance to interview him either. And then last season, he was at Disney Hall with premiering some new pieces. And so after his performance, I ran backstage after intermission because I thought, I just want to meet him. I, you know, just shake his hand and right. say, you know, dude, you're the most amazing and blah, blah, blah. I couldn't find him. So I stalked his chair where he had been sitting in the hall. So when he came up the stairs, I sort of ran over to him and I introduced myself. You know, I'm a composer, a complete geek moment. And he was so gracious and he said, oh, you're a composer and what is your full name? And he was just lovely. And, you know, what do you say to someone like that who's inspired so many people?
I love you.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said your music is so wonderful.
I always say, like, your music changed my life. If I really mean it. You know what I mean?
I said something like that that wasn't too goofball.
Hopefully. And he was cool?
Yeah, he was lovely. He was charming. And
I would think that 50% of composers would be super cool, and 50% would be like, yeah, buzz up, buddy.
I don't know.
Because rock stars are like that. Like, sometimes they're like full of themselves.
He's a bit of a rock star, but he was absolutely gracious and very...
Isn't that the best?
Oh, yeah.
When somebody's so down to earth and cool. I mean, have you ever had a cool moment with a comedian or anybody? Eddie?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
You don't remember?
I can't recall.
You know, for a guy that doesn't do any drugs or drink,
I can't recall right
your
now.
Memory is shit.
I have a seven-year-old, so things are blurry.
Is that the excuse for everything?
Yes.
Pretty much. Okay.
Children
pretty much.
Are the excuse for everything.
Veronica, so I always ask, you know, composers this, and you're a different kind of breed of composers in the sense that your ears are ridiculous. Mm. They really are. So do you ever use a piano when you compose? Do you ever use an instrument?
I try things out on the piano, so I'm half and half, paper, piano. And then I'm old school. I use a pencil.
Because I never compose without using an instrument.
Mm.
So it's interesting to me that you could just sit and just hear something and know, you know, to dictate, like writing it out and just do it. Like, and then know that, this is the part. Yeah. You never sound it out before you know, or you do know after you write it?
I do both.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't have a really good answer for you. It's not...
No, it's a great answer. Because the fact that you can just do it without it is... I think it's tremendous.
I'm precious with my pencil.
You see, you don't use pen? You never like, this is going in marker.
No, I have a mechanical pencil that, you know, has, you know, 9.9 lead, et cetera.
And a big eraser, just in case.
Oh, yeah, I have a huge, one of those, what are they called, Staedtler, those white erasers that really erase well, yeah.
You don't print it out on, like, you know, notation paper and everything?
Oh, I do. Once I finish the piece, I input it painstakingly.
God, that's the hardest. That's,
I know.
Eddie, that is, I would say that's probably the worst part of writing music. Yeah. I think that's the worst.
That's why that E sharp came into the score.
You're like, damn it. Because you have to sit there and you're so meticulous about writing. You have to think about the time. You have to think about the notes. You're listening for all the notes if they're right. You're checking. It's just, I don't like doing that. I hate doing that,
actually. I know, but different composers do it different ways. There's no right or wrong way, which is kind of good.
You sent us some music. Do you want us to play something?
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah, let's play something.
Do you want bass music or do you want some...
Oh, yeah, slap it to bass, man.
So here's just a little thing. Why don't we do the sillage?
You have the sillage?
This is the piece that I wrote for the LA Phil Bass Boys 2 years ago.
Okay.
And sillage means wake or trail. So, you know when someone has too much perfume on and there's that sort of cloud behind them? Well, that's what a sillage is, except this one is... It was kind of an interesting idea because basses are so heavy.
Right.
But they can also make super high noises as well. So there's that combination in this piece. So this is just a little excerpt in the middle.
Let's hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's terribly serious.
Wait. Where's the applause? You gotta turn me back on. Oh, yeah. Oh. Sounds like fireworks.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. So, Veronica, how can people get tickets for this wonderful event?
So, I'll give you all the information. It's called Noon to Midnight. It's on October 1st, Saturday. That's the Saturday.
This Saturday.
Mm. Do you know, I'm doing a complete digression here.
It's okay.
Because I was raised in Australia, I was born in Australia, my grandmother had this thing that if it was the first of the month and you were the first person to remember, you would pinch someone and would say pinch punch for the first of the month. And no returns. So that you always tried to remember when it was the first of the month. So on October 1st, that really has nothing to do with anything.
No, but that would be a horrible way to deal with the first of the month every month.
Exactly, but you know, if you were mean, you would pinch really hard. But if you weren't really mean, you would just, you know, pretend to, which is what I do because I'm not mean, unless I'm teaching.
But someone I'm sure was mean and really pinched you, I'm sure.
No, because because it was my family and no one was very violent. I didn't.
Sorry.
No cats.
Just because she said she wanted more sound effects during the music break doesn't mean we need 15 of them in 2 minutes.
That's okay. I like them. But if you have a dog room later, you can do that one. Anyway. So
I do.
LA Phil. Jesus Christ. To midnight. There's music, there are food trucks, there's beer. It starts at noon at Disney Hall. If you want to get tickets, it's $15 for the day. You can wander around and see different performances, experience the Nimbus.
Is there a website you go to get the tickets?
Yeah, it's laphil.com.
Laphil.com?
Laphil.com.
PHIL or FILL?
PHIL.
And yep. Who's the conductor for the
Philharmonic?
LA.
Who's Chris Roundtree?
Oh, Chris Roundtree. So basically what you've got is you've got a whole bunch of stuff going on, including at 10 o'clock, if you want to be there that late, Wild Up, which is a local really groovy.
Well, if I'm going to drop $15, I'm going to be there the whole day.
Yeah. All day.
I don't know if Wild Up is a little bit more, but they've got two different concerts after 8 o'clock, which are, you know, more official, you know, sit-down type things. But Chris Roundtree is this great conductor it's his ensemble. He'll be conducting there, too. I wrote a piece once that was in dog, and he barked it for me.
Awesome.
I know. I should have.
Like that Jingle Bells, that all dog Jingle Bells.
No. This was much better. Text.
Oh, no. That's pretty good.
Jingle Bells with dogs. I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some other amazing performers. You've got Jennifer Coe on violin and Richard Vellatuta, who's an amazing pianist. And a group, Piano Spheres, is doing the Messiaen, a whole cycle of bird pieces for piano with about 10 or 15 of the best pianists in town. And
so there's going to be like 15 pianos there?
Yeah.
That's actually a lot of pianos.
It's a lot of pianos. A lot of double basses, a lot of pianos. I know.
They need a lot of room.
Yeah, how are they going to do that? That's crazy.
They switch off. One does one, and then another one does another. And it's not together. They do it in a series.
I'd be like, that's a lot of pianos.
It's a lot of pianos.
It's like a
unless they stack them.
Now that would be
cool.
Quite a show.
I wrote a piece for 12, 13 pianos once.
And they stack them?
No, they went in a semicircle outside.
They should stack
them. That's cool.
Yeah. It was fun.
Not grands, though.
They were all grands.
Wow. No way. That's crazy.
They're San Francisco, man.
How do you write for the craziest ensembles?
It was an earthquake scene. I don't know. See,
do you want to do that? Or they ask you?
No, people ask me.
They say, I want this crazy group of musicians.
Yeah, they
and you're like, cool.
And I'll do it.
Well, what's been your favorite?
I don't know. I like all of them. It's sort of like saying...
They're all her babies. You can't choose.
They're all her babies.
What cities have you visited that you've not liked? You know, you like all of them.
There's a couple.
Really? Well, you know, in general. Anyway, they've got new world premieres by David Lang and Ingram Marshall and the New York... L.A. Phil new music groups playing, and you've got the St. Lawrence String Quartet doing pieces by Adams and his son. Gnarl Wallaby, which is a...
Tell us a little bit about John Adams. I don't know much about John Adams.
John Adams is one of the, I guess he could be called the grandfathers of minimalism with, you know, Steve Reich and Philip Glass. And he's a marvelous man. He's now the composer in residence at...
I thought you were talking about, like, one of the presidents. I was like...
Not John Quincy Adams. No, she would have wrote John Quincy Adams.
He's, you said it was his 70th birthday, and I was like... 70.
No. 70 minus zero. Yeah. No, it's his 70th
You did party
birthday.
In high school.
I did.
You were a popular kid. I was popular.
See?
In high school. I was a nerd.
I bet you were. You're just downplaying. You're so humble.
No, I'm not humble at all.
Sure.
I was a nerd in high school.
No, I don't believe it.
No. Yes.
You were one of the coolest teachers at USC.
Yeah, but see, I was cool in university, but not in high school.
Well, so there's hope for Eddie yet.
Anyway, maybe. John Adams is great. I don't know. You can put on a little bit of
Let me play a little bit of John Adams real fast.
We can just hear a little bit. As a sort of background while we talk about him. So he's a really inspiring man, and he's fun, and I get to do interviews with him sometimes at Disney Hall, and it's fun to tag team with him. And I told him once that I have this fantasy, which he got a little bit worried about, but my fantasy is that I wanted to do a dance with him, and apparently he doesn't dance, but one of these days I'm going to drag him up because one of his...
I'm going to get a gun.
No. He wrote an opera, really... wonderful opera called Nixon in China, and there's a song in a piece in there that's the chairman dances. So I said I'm going to have John Adams dances. So that's my goal in life.
Does he know this?
Yeah, I told him, and he was going to do it, and then our plan changed because of unforeseeable.
He called his agent. He's like, make sure I'm not doing that dance.
Yeah, exactly. No. He'll do it one of these days. He'll do it.
All right, we can kill John Adams over here. I mean, not really
easy.
Kill him.
Anyway,
just kidding.
So,
well, where can people find your music?
They can find it online or go to the Disney Hall on Saturday.
Yeah.
And
well, where's the best place? Do you have a website or anything?
It's veronicakrauses.com.
Spell it, because people are dumb.
Well, this is a difficult name to spell.
It's Veronica.
It's not your typical Veronica.
Yeah, it's true.
Veronika Krausas, Krausas. It's all one word, .com. And you can find some stuff there. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Vimeo. You can...
You're all over the net.
You can commission
me. You're so huge on the net.
Yeah, huge on the net.
And you can commission you. That's right. I like that. That's awesome.
They can commission all of us. But
then you're going to be like, Nikki, I need 17 xylophones for my next composition.
Do you want 17 xylophones?
If I commissioned you, it'd be something...
I'd write you. If you
commissioned
me,
something crazy.
What about kazoos? 17 kazoos?
That's too easy.
Kazoos are sort of... They're passe.
It's so 1985.
Yes. Really? We have to... get weird hair or something.
Veronica, you are the shit.
You're the shit.
I love you so much. I really do. You really help, like, just I'm add so much glad. Light to my life. It's the truth.
I think you add a lot of light to everyone's life.
But you add light to my life, which helps me radiate that to whoever. But you also bring light to whoever you are around. I want everybody to go to the Disney Hall October 1st, 12 p.m. and 5:15 p.m. Veronica's piece is being... Where is it in the Disney Hall?
It's going to be in BP Hall, so it's where the pre-concert lectures are being given. They're setting the tent up in the middle and then taking it down. And
amazing.
Yeah.
That's got to be so super exciting.
And
we'll play her out with her...
Eddie's request.
It's a request. It's a vocal piece. It's
a vocal piece.
It's called Alchemist Suite, and this is the third movement called Regarding the Experiments of Marium Prophetis.
All right, we'll play out with that. So everybody, check out Veronica Kraus.
Krausas.
I forget the ass on the end.
Yeah.
I always forget the ass on the end.
I bet you do, buddy.
VeronikaKraus.com, or just Google it, and I'm sure all the other stuff will pop up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for being
guys.
A guest,
Cheers.
A return guest. We'll see you again soon.
I hope so.
All right.
Mortum, my love. One becomes two, two becomes three, and out of the third comes the one and the fourth! Gold to have and gold to hold, gold above and gold below, and gold to have and gold to hold, gold above.